We're looking today at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, verse 17, and verse 24. The book of Hebrews chapter 13, let's look first of all at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now then, let's look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now then, let's look at verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. You'll notice this same expression in each one of these verses, and that is the phrase, rule over you. He's talking about some kind of ruling, some kind of authority, some kind of position of authority. So who are these people that he's talking about? Who are the ones who have this rule or authority? And what kind of authority is it? And what is the nature of this work that he's talking about? What are the responsibilities of these Christians to these ones that have the rule over them? Well, let's start with the question, who are these people? Who are the ones that he's talking about in verse 7 and 17 and 24 when he says that they have the rule over you? Well, he's not talking about government officials. It is true that Christians are to submit to government rulers. The Bible teaches that in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, where the Bible says that every soul is to be subject to the higher powers. But in verse 7, we see very plainly that he's not talking about government officials, because he says that the ones that have the rule over you have spoken unto you the word of God, and not only that, he says that you are to follow their faith. Well, these government officials didn't teach them the word of God, and he's not telling these Christians to follow the faith of government officials. And also, down in verse 17, he says that they watch for your souls. Well, governments don't watch for your souls. They look out after your physical and your social relations in society, but they don't watch for your souls. So he's not talking about those who rule in society. He's not talking about government officials here. He must be talking about some group of people in the church. Well, it's also important to remember that he is not talking about preachers as such in this passage. The New Testament does not teach that a preacher has the rule over a congregation. The Bible does not give authority to one man, a preacher, or anybody else to have the rule over a church. Now, I realize that some people do that. I realize that some men, some preachers even, try to take upon themselves the authority to run a congregation by themselves. And they try to rule over everybody else in the church. They may do that, but they don't do that with God's approval, because the Bible does not give the right to a preacher to rule over a church. God never authorized one man, regardless of who he is, to be over a congregation. So what group of men in the church are over other people? Well, there's only one answer to that. There's only one group of people in the New Testament, in the church, who are said to have authority over the congregation, and those are the elders, or as the Bible sometimes calls them, bishops or overseers or pastors. All those words refer to one and the same office. As a matter of fact, the word bishop or overseer comes from a word which means an overseer, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly. And that's why sometimes, even in the King James Version, for instance, in Acts 20, verse 28, you'll find that this word is translated overseer. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 28, that the Holy Ghost made those elders overseers, so they rule over the church in that way. And then throughout the New Testament, you're going to find references to the fact that these men are in a position of authority in the church. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, listen very carefully to how he describes this group of men. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." So he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, that they are over you in the Lord. Another passage which shows that there is authority in this office is 1 Timothy chapter 3. You'll notice in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, for instance, that the Bible says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop or an overseer, he desires a good work." Now notice what he says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 4. "An elder or bishop must be one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" So there's an obvious parallel to the leadership that he exerts in the home and the leadership that he exerts in the church. Also, if you will look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, and you'll notice in this passage as well that he talks about ruling, and these elders are in a position where they are overseers or ruling in a congregation. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." So the answer to the question about Hebrews chapter 13, when the Bible says in verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you," and in verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you," and then verse 24, "Salute all them that have the rule over you," these passages are about elders in the church, or as we said, they're also called bishops, overseers, or pastors in the first century. And since this doctrine about elders has been left for us in the New Testament, and since we're under the New Testament today, then we're to follow the same example, we're to follow the same doctrine, the same teaching, by the same authority of the New Testament that was given in the first century. And so, we're to respect what the Bible says about the oversight of a congregation. They are to be qualified men who meet these requirements according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, and they are to serve as overseers of a congregation. This is not one man over a congregation, but at least two or perhaps more. The Bible says in Acts 14, verse 23, that they ordained elders in every church, that is, in every congregation. So this is what the Bible means in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, when it talks about the eldership or the presbytery. This is this group of men that we sometimes call the eldership. Now, the rest of verse 7 fits with the elders, because in Hebrews 13, verse 7, he says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." Well, elders are to be skillful in teaching, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. And there were elders that especially dedicated their time and their energy to teaching the word of God in congregations. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, those who labor in the word and in doctrine. And in the last part of verse 7, when he says to follow their faith, that is the same as what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, when he tells elders to be examples to the flock. Now, with that in mind, let's look at verse 17. Because the Bible says here, "Obey them that have the rule over you." First of all, members are to obey the elders in the congregation. He talks about those who rule over you, and then he says to submit yourselves. Now look at those words and let those ideas sink in. Obey, they rule over you, and he says, submit yourselves. There are some people who say that elders don't have any kind of authority in the church. Now, if that's true, then this verse means nothing. As a matter of fact, all these other verses don't have any meaning at all. If elders don't have any authority in the church, then why does he say to obey them? Why does he say that they rule over you? And how can he say, submit yourselves? Yes, if words mean anything, then these words mean that elders have some kind of authority. Now let's talk about what this means and what it does not mean. When the Bible says that elders rule over you and that we are to obey them and submit ourselves to them, that does not mean that elders in the church have the right to change the doctrine of Christ. That does not mean that they have the right to set aside the Bible or to add to the Bible. That is none of their concern. That is not the role of elders, and it is not the right of elders to either set aside what the Bible says or to contradict what the Bible says. It also does not mean that elders have the right to be harsh and overbearing, to abuse their authority, to let it go to their heads, and to be domineering with people. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, that Peter, who was an elder as well as an apostle, was writing to those elders. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, he warned those elders not to be lords over God's heritage. In other words, don't be domineering. Don't be overbearing. So when the Bible says that elders rule over you in the congregation, that does not mean that they have the right to trample upon the people in the congregation. What it does mean is that they do have authority in matters of judgment for the congregation. In matters of Bible teaching, they are to follow the Bible. They have no authority to change that whatsoever. But there are many matters that the Bible does not specify. What kind of church building you're going to have, at exactly what hour you're going to meet on Sunday morning, what kind of materials you're going to use in the Bible class. There are all kinds of decisions that have to be made on a local basis. And God has left it up to each congregation to make its own decisions. And if there are qualified men in the congregation, then those qualified men serve as elders or overseers, and they're the ones who are charged with the duty of making decisions in those matters of judgment. This is God's arrangement. This is God's plan. And if men would submit to this, if churches would follow this, things would go a whole lot more smoothly. Now, he goes on to say, after he says in verse 17, obey them because they have the rule over you and submit yourselves, he tells us, for they watch for your souls. Elders are not in their position just to set a budget. They're not in that office just to provide a building. This is a spiritual work. That means that elders need to feed the flock and make sure that the flock is being fed the Word of God. They need to make sure that the flock is protected from false doctrine, from false teachers, and from people who would divide the congregation. They have the responsibility to go after sheep who have gone astray because they are shepherds of the flock. And then he gives a sobering reminder because he says that elders must give account. They must answer to the Lord for the work that they have done. They must give account to God someday. And so he says that we should obey them and submit to them that they may do it. That is, that they may do their work with joy and not with grief, because that is unprofitable for you. So the more that members submit, the more elders will be able to rule and to do their work with joy and not with grief. Because, he says, if their work is a burden to them because the members are not submitting and because there's not harmony in that relationship, then the members themselves are not going to benefit from that relationship. This is a very rich and a very important discussion of those that rule over you in the church.